Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. We are going to talk this week about the bladder, and particularly the bladder in children. We're going to talk about one subset of voiding dysfunction, really any abnormality involved with emptying the bladder. Common problem in kids, maybe up to 40% of pediatric urology visits are due to this voiding dysfunction. Two kinds of voiding problems, at least if you're going to classify them by time. There's daytime urinary incontinence, which leads to all kinds of stress and image problems and self-esteem problems, etc. There are nighttime urinary incontinence problems. Also, if you're having a sleepover or some such thing, can cause self-esteem problems. Lots of approaches to this. Therapeutic considerations include obviously looking at the underlying cause of the dysfunction, which includes perhaps an understanding of the kid's age, a little bit of understanding around duration and severity, motivation and attention span of the kid, risk factors for renal injury, and high among those include urinary tract infections and vesicoureteral reflux. Some studies looking at this, this week are going to look at an article from the Journal of Urology. It hasn't looked at diagnosing the problem, but looks at a treatment approach. It compares two of them. The question is, are desmopressin and enuresis alarms equally effective in the management of nocturnal enuresis, particularly in kids between the ages of 6 and 15? What did the authors in this study find?
Well, yeah, this was 104 kids between 6 years and 15 years. You really got to be, you know, 6 and older to be officially enuretic. And they met this criteria for nocturnal enuresis. None of them had daytime lower urinary tract symptoms, nothing you could point to as an infection or, you know, obvious problem. And they were randomized to get either the desmopressin 0.2 milligrams daily, and it was increased to 0.4 if necessary after a couple of weeks, or a standard enuresis alarm for 12 weeks. And they all got advice to restrict fluid and fruit before bed and to empty their bladder before bedtime. Parents did know which kids had the alarm and which didn't. That was pretty obvious. And the parents kept track of daily wedding diaries. Kids who were partial responders or non-responders, so anyone who didn't have a complete response to their initially assigned treatment, was switched to the other one for another 12 weeks of follow-up. They had really good follow-up. 96% of the kids, or, you know, 97 kids were followed out of the 104. So they used intention-to-treat analysis after the first-line treatment, and there were no significant differences between desmopressin and alarm in achieving a successful result. And the result was reducing wet nights by at least 50%, and they both did that in about 80% of kids, or a full response, which was 37% in the desmopressin and 50% in the alarm group. That was seems different, but it wasn't statistically different. So 37% desmopressin, 50% alarm had a full response. Of the kids with a full response, more of them relapsed in the desmopressin group, so when you stop the medication, than in the alarm group, 50% versus 12%. So that was significant. So of those who responded, if they responded with desmopressin and then you took the med away, they got worse again. A lot of them got worse. Half of them relapsed. On the other hand, if they improved and did well with the alarm, took the alarm away, you know, they had learned that behavior presumably, and only 12% relapsed. There was no difference in you know, the group that had to get a second-line treatment. There was no difference between the medication and the alarm. So Yeah, so it's interesting. For initial treatment, the desmopressin and the anuresis alarm are similarly effective. And what you have to note is that there is a higher relapse rate after you stop the medication than after something which is essentially a behavioral intervention. And that kind of makes sense to me. And so, you know, I think and some of the partial responders did benefit. I think that's the other point is, you know, there were kids who didn't benefit from the desmopressin, if it didn't work or only worked partially, they did benefit from switching to the alarm and vice versa.
Interesting. You know, obviously no pharmaceutical sponsorship here, although you mm-hmm. wonder if General Electric or somebody who makes alarms is behind this. But, you know, I agree with you. I mean, when I read this, it wasn't earth-shattering in the sense that you do expect that when you have something that's behavioral that you're going to have a much longer lasting effect than you would with something that where there's no change in anything once the medicine's gone. So it doesn't surprise me, but if I had a kid, it would certainly be something I would start with, an alarm.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it gives us options, which I always like, and it helps clarify the effectiveness, which is important. And, you know, in terms of initial therapy, they both work. But, you know, I think, yeah, I would tend to come down in favor of the alarm. It's not a medication. It's, you know, seems to have a longer lasting effect. And so that's a good thing.
Right. I mean, I know that one of the things that the parents who I've talked with who are taking care of kids like this say that, mm-hmm. you know, the most important thing with the alarm isn't the alarm itself. It's the alarm waking up the mom or the dad who then goes in and wakes up the kid because the kid's sleeping through it.
Yeah. You got to put up with that, I guess.
Right. Then you have to be cranky all the next day. Anyways, Mark, thank you very much. Good topic, and we will talk with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.